Shall we pray?
Our blessed Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning with gratitude in our hearts for sparing our lives from every evil plan of the enemy to kill us, to maim us, to put us into trouble, to get us jailed, to frustrate our lives. Lord, to make us to doubt your word, we thank you for coming to our aid, for being the present help in time of trouble, for being Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is there. Lord, we thank you. When there is no help of man in sight, you are always there to watch over us, to put a boundary between the devil and us, to tell the enemy, you can't take his life, you can't take a life, you can't take their life. We are very grateful. We return you to your glory and honor in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, we want to thank you too for supplying our needs, for making provision for us, for your guidance, for your leadership, for the blessings of your word, for the comfort of the Spirit. We bless you. Thank you for this word of the hour that you have sent to us, Heavenly Father, Lord, that is renewing us, that is washing us. Lord, for the word is the washing of the water by the word. We thank you for this truth, vindicated truth of yours that you have sent to us, Eternal Father, that is attuning our hearts towards heaven. Lord, making us to look into our lives and comparing our lives with your word, and then seeking your help where we need your help. We are very grateful to you. Thank you for working upon us by this word. Lord, if there be anyone this morning who this word is not working upon, Father, we pray that as you are giving us another opportunity, Master, may such find grace in your sight to surrender, and that you might work your word might work effectively in such individuals, Lord, to accomplish your purpose of making us to be in your image. The purpose why you send the word is to turn our hearts to our Pentecostal fathers by the infilling of your Spirit. Every hindrance or obstacle that will not allow this promise to come to pass in our lives, that will not make us to be partakers of this glorious promise of yours, may you undertake for us today. Come down, stretch forth your hand of mercy and grace. Let your blood stand for us to cleanse us from all our sins and unbelief. Gracious Lord, and may we find grace in your sight to surrender ourselves to you. Lord, there are many needs here. Jehovah, may you attend to those needs, Lord. Spiritual needs, financial needs, material needs, need of healing, Lord, hunger and thirst, closer walk with you, higher ground, Master, all this you promised, and you are much more than able to accomplish this. May we be witnesses of this today, that we might, Lord, go home with joy and gladness in our hearts, because all this that you promised you have put in your word to accomplish today, may you give us ears to hear and heart to understand. Thank you, Heavenly Father. At the end of the entire services of today, wherever your children are gathered, your name will be glorified. Thank you, Eternal Father. Have the preeminence, Lord, and let joy and gladness be our portion. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Praise be to God. Let's welcome ourselves again to the house of the Lord as we continue with a Sunday school lesson, reading from Revelation chapter 1 from verse 16. And then Revelation chapter 3 We will read verse 14. We will make reference to other scriptures. Revelation chapter 1 from verse 16 to 20. And I read, "And he had in his right hand 7 stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. The mystery of the 7 stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the 7 golden candlesticks. The 7 stars are the angels of the 7 churches, and the 7 candlesticks which thou sawest are the 7 churches." Chapter 3, verse 14. "And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God." The Lord bless the reading of his word to our hearts. You can please be seated. God bless you. We welcome ourselves again to the house of the Lord. Wish ourselves the greatest and the greatest of God's blessings. God bless you all.
So we continue
with the revelation, background to the revelation of the 7 seas. We are now in the 7th messenger. And we started last Sunday to continue this morning, having gone through the other 6 ages. We have now come to settle down on with this 7th messenger. Praise be to God. What we intend to do is to further establish there is no new thing that that can be told us in the scripture or in the Bible. But you know, we can go into the scripture, go into the message to bring more truth of the scripture to establish what we already know, to further establish what we already know. For more assurance of what God has done in the ages, and the knowledge of the of things that happened in the ages is as a result of God's faithfulness to his promises, which the last church age which we are in, God promised to bring some things to pass, which he has done. So if God was faithful to give us an understanding who the first church age messenger was, the second church messenger, the third, the fourth, the fifth, the sixth, he is the same one also who enabled us to know who the seventh church age messenger is. As we knew them through the revelation of God to the messenger of the last church age. Because if God has not promised to fulfill his promises at the last church age, we will not know what happened in the ages that have gone by. The ministry of the last church age messenger, William Miron Branham, is to give us the understandings of those things that have happened in the ages, to see the way God worked, and by that to know the way God works, to see how God will continue. So going back to the criteria that was set in the first place, one, rapport being the standard, his ministry being the standard, the first that he was faithful to the word. He was not organized. He was faithful to the word. He had a revelation of the word of God for his age. He had word-oriented ministry. Word-oriented ministry. He had evidence proof of his ministry, and signs and wonders attended to him. And this standard we have used as yardstick to determine. God used those standards by the prophet to give us who the other messengers of the passages have been. And there is no doubt in our mind about them, because we could see history bearing record, we could see the scripture bearing record, and we could see God's own way of life, the way God works. As the prophet made us to know that God is infinite. What he did for the first time is what he will continue to do. And we have seen it in all areas, that this is what the prophet has called our attention to, that when God started a thing, he will remain with it. So, the consistency of God, the exactness of God, the correctness of God, we saw in ministry, in the ministries of these six people that have gone. And if God continue like that, this seven church age too will not be an exception. Praise be to God. It is easy for people to believe what has happened in the past, but to believe what God is doing. The prophet said people have problem with it. People can appreciate God for what God has done and what he is going to do. But what he's doing presently, people fail to recognize it. So the ministry of the entire Malachi 4 message hasn't ended. It's still ongoing. It's still ongoing. The ministry of the messenger still continues. Just being carried by the fivefold ministry, by the power of the Spirit of God. Praise be to our God. Last Sunday, we were trying to identify the ministry of William Miron Branham, which is the messenger to our age, as we go to the Laodicean Church Age now. Laodicean Church Age. We look at the messenger. Praise be to God. The messenger. Sorry. Give us the messenger. That's after the prophet said, I doubt very much if any age truly knew the messenger God has sent unto it, except in the first age where Paul was the messenger. And even in that age, many did not recognize him for what he was. Now the age in which we are living is going to be a very short one. Events are going to transpire. This is the Laodicean church age, as we read in Revelation chapter 3, verse 14. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write. That's the seventh age that we are in. And so we are going to look at a few things too, to show to us that we are now, there are other scriptures that also speak of this time, that are written in the Bible. And like we were saying last Sunday, that Who can identify the promise of God for the age? The first person that can identify the promise of God for that age is the messenger to that age. Then, after the messenger to that age has identified God's promise for that age, by that, the elect of God in that age now follows the teaching of that man. So by that, they believe what God has done in that age. But first, God goes to the messenger, to the servant of his that he has sent to that age, to give him an understanding, to get him to recognize what he has promised to that time. Praise be to God. Remember, God went to Moses. He left the children of Israel, all of them. He went to Moses alone to show Moses his plan of deliverance for the children of Israel. And he showed Moses supernatural power to make Moses know that I am the one. He gave Moses scripture. I have come down to deliver my people out of the hand of the Egyptians. I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. I remember my promise that I given unto Abraham. The promise was that his seed will sojourn in a strange land. His descendants will sojourn in a strange land. And that was why when Moses had a voice in the series of the sermon, the voice of the sign, the voice of the sign, the prophet said, when the angel called unto Moses and said, I remember what? Exodus chapter 3. Just pray, this time will be sufficient for us. All right, let's read from verse 7 so that we can see from verse 6. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of the taskmaster, for I know their sorrow. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of the land unto a good land, and a large and a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites, and the Phillies, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Havites, and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come to me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppress them. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses said unto God, who am I, that I should go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. Praise be to God. All right. Okay. I'm looking for another place to read. And in verse 13, and Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers have sent unto you, send me unto you, and they shall say, where is he? What is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am has sent unto you. And God said, moreover unto Moses, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generation. Go and gather the children of Israel together and say unto them, the Lord God of your father. You see God repeating that again. Now this is the third time God is going to say, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Appear unto me, saying, I have surely visited you and seen that which is done to you in Egypt. And I have said, I will bring you up out of the affliction of Egypt unto the land of the Canaanite, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, unto a land flowing with milk and honey. And they shall hearken to thy voice, and thou shalt come, thou and the elders of Israel, unto the king of Egypt. And ye shall say unto him, the Lord God of the Hebrews has met with us. And now let us go. We beseech thee 3 days journey into the wilderness, that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God. And I am sure that the king of Egypt will not let you go. No, not by a mighty hand. What we are bringing out of here, where we have read, is that God identified himself to Moses for the promise he gave to Abraham. I am the God of Abraham. When God gave promise to Abraham, the promise extended to Isaac. And that promise also extended to who? To Jacob. So God identified himself with Abraham. Abraham was the person that God had covenant with. And God gave him a promise. Your children are surely sojourning in the stranger, but I will come with a mighty hand to deliver them. That was what God was reminding Moses. That promise that I'm given to Abraham, I'm here to fulfill it. Praise be to God. And the prophet told us, when the voice spoke to Moses, he saw the sign. When he saw the sign, the voice that followed the sign was scriptural. Because it's a promise that God already made to Abraham. Are you with me? So, what God did then, he called Moses, single Moses out alone. No, Joshua was not even with him. Caleb was not with him by that time, physically. It was only Moses. And when God met Moses, he displayed supernatural before Moses, like he displayed supernatural before William Aaron Branham. The great and mighty things that God did, because that was the first Exodus. And we are also in the third Exodus. So the thing that happened in the first Exodus, we find the same repeated, even in a greater dimension, in the third Exodus that we are in. Praise be to God. And so God displayed that and he sent Moses to Egypt. And we know what followed that. God was vindicating everything Moses did. When challenge came, God was behind him. Why? Because God sent him. When James and Jambrin challenged Moses, God came on the scene. Moses didn't know what to do. When he threw his snake on the ground, and the other people threw their sticks, right? When he threw his staff to the ground, rather, and the staff turned to a snake. Ah, Pharaoh looked at him and said, cheap magic. What is it that you are doing here? James Jambrin, come over here. Look at what this magician, he thinks he can bamboozle us with this cheap thing. And then they also display the same thing. Their staff also turned to snakes. God was the one that was challenged by that time. It wasn't Moses. It was not Moses. So every man of God that is commissioned, when you challenge them, when you challenge their, what God asked them to do, you are challenging God directly. And so that's why we just got to be very, very careful. Because when God called this man to that office, he supported him. And what did God do? Moses did not know what to do. The only thing, inspiration that came upon Moses by that time was he put down his staff, and his staff turned to a snake, just like God has commanded him. But he didn't know the next thing to do. It was not Moses that commanded his own snake, his staff that turned to a snake, to swallow the snake of the rest. God was in control. So God was the one that commanded the staff that turned to a snake, which belonged to Moses, to face the staff that of Jambre and James that turned to a snake, and Moses' own snake follow it and speak it and swallow it up.
Then the second one, he follow it, struck it, and swallow it up. Then inspiration must have come upon Moses to pick the staff. And he picked the snake by the tail, and he turned to staff again. Where were the staffs of James and Jamre? The prophet said, all the powers of Egypt, now in the hand of Moses. Why? Because God was with him. God was the one that commissioned him. He didn't send himself. So, anyone who disbelieved Moses perished in the wilderness. Because God commissioned him and gave him instruction. This is what you are going to do. This is the commandment you are going to give to the children of Israel. At every point in time, God was dealing with Moses. Not Moses plus.
Amen.
It's unfortunate today that many, many faithful preachers, they have showcased themselves to equate them with William Aaron Branham. Interpreting scripture contrary to the interpretation of William Aaron Branham. And by that, sending souls to hell. Because there is only one voice. That was Moses. And today there is only one voice too. That's William Aaron Branham. Every other voice is the voice of distraction. To get the people away from looking at what they're supposed to look to. From the voices of others. Anyone that is not saying what William Aaron Branham said, as far as what he has preached is concerned, they are not preparing anybody for rapture. That's the truth. We have read in Revelation chapter 3, verse 14, unto the angel of the church of Laodicea, not angels, unto the angel of the church of Laodicea, write. So all that the Laodicean church age needs to know, as far as being made ready and prepared for rapture, is given to that one single man. And so that's why there are scriptures that made him to identify for this end time as being fulfilled, to prove to us that we are now in the end time. Praise be to our God. Alright, let's move on. So they didn't recognize him. He was. Now the age in which we are living in is going to be a very short one. Events are going to transpire very rapidly. So the messenger to this Laodicean age has to be here now. Though perhaps we don't know him as yet. That was as at the time the prophet preached this. Very humble man. He knew. But he had to present it like that. Just like John did not say, I am. Did you say you are this? You are this? John did not project himself to let them see that I am the messenger of the age. He only referred them to the scripture. And that's what William Branham did also. He will present scripture and let you know this is what this man will do. He said, I hope you understand. Just like Jesus Christ did not also come out to tell the people that I am the Messiah. If you talk back to me. No. He was referring to the scripture. Referring to the scripture. Is it not written in the scripture? Is it not written like this? Is it not written like this? Is it not written like this? God is not a showman. Another is God a politician. People that have the spirit of showmanship, they are politicians. Because it's the politicians that go into showmanship. And that's this religion of Islamic religion, full of showmanship. When they do a little sacrifice for people, when they go to, what's the name? Sabo, other places where those blinds are, where they usually stay. They will carry camera along with them to be showing what they are doing and the rest of it. But we have a scripture for that. He said, what your right hand do it, let your left hand not be aware of it. Your father who sees in the secret shall reward you openly. When he begins to bless you, people will see the blessing. But when you are doing the secret, people won't see it. But when you announce it to people that, oh, I've done this for this, I've done this for this, you've gotten your reward already. That's the scripture. And I say that is the scripture. So when you do anything for people, keep it to yourself. If you want to get a reward for it, and then your motive for giving it to must also be pure, like we spoke last Wednesday, motives and objectives. Because if our motives are wrong, our objectives for are wrong, the motive and object we have in giving this to this and that, if they are wrong, we don't have reward for it. We are, of course, we are just giving the resources. Nothing is going to, our motive that we have gotten, as long as they are not in line with God's word. Praise be to God. Now, we want to go further. We have read in Revelation chapter 3, verse 14, so many scriptures. Now we want to look also. Now, Revelation. Okay, let me. Wow. First of all, let's continue. Because I want to strike few things within this available time. I want to strike these things here. First of all, the messenger is going to be a prophet. The messenger is going to be a prophet. He will have the office of a prophet. He will have. That's the Laodicean church age. Messenger. It will be, first thing is that he's going to be a prophet. He will have the office of a prophet. Being a prophet and manifesting the gift of prophecy, they are two different things. Office of a prophet. And then gift of prophecy. This is an office that a man is ordained for. This is the one Abraham is saying, that messenger is going to be a prophet. This man is not occupying the office of a prophet, he's a member of the body of Christ. Are you with me? This gift of prophecy can come upon a man, can come upon a woman. But this is strictly for man. Because it's prophetic office. This office of a prophet that we're talking about here is not a minor prophet. Laodicean church messenger. As Abraham is talking, this man is going to be a prophet, not a minor prophet. Are you with me? He's a major prophet. And we call him Star Messenger. Star Messenger. He's a star messenger because he is the star, the seventh star, one of the stars in the hand of Jesus Christ. He's called the Star Messenger. Praise be to God. And so, he bears the light of God to that age. That's why he's a star messenger. And that's why they were seven of them in the hands of the Lord Jesus. And we know that not all of the stars in the hand of Jesus were prophets. Only two of them, the first and the last, Brapo and this Laodicean prophet, is a prophet. Praise be to God. He's going to be a prophet. He will have the office of a prophet. He will have the prophetic ministry. It will be based solidly on the word, because when he prophesies or has a vision, it will always be word-oriented. And it will always come to pass. He will be vindicated as a prophet because of his accuracy. The proof that he's a prophet is in Revelation chapter 10, verse 7. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel messenger, when it shall begin to sound, the mystery of God shall be finished. Now, because of the nature of what he's going to do, he's going to get mystery out to the people of his age. That cannot be given to an ordinary person. And that is not to be given to a minor prophet. Because a minor prophet cannot interpret scriptures. He takes the star messenger. He takes the man that has the prophetic office in the realm of the star messenger. Are you with me? In the realm of the star messenger, to be able to hear from God regarding the promise of God for that time. That was why Moses was able to know the mystery of God for his time. And that's why it's also possible for Brother Abraham to know the mystery, according to Revelation chapter 10, verse 7. In the days of the voice of the seventh angel messenger, the mystery of God, the mystery of God shall be finished. So in other words, when he begins to fulfill his ministry, his entire purpose is to fulfill the mystery of God. So nothing will be left when this man fulfills his ministry. He's going to hear from God. He's going to give us the revelation of God's mind. The mind of God will remain to him as regards what we are to do at the end time to be made ready. God bless you. By the grace of God, God's prayer in our lives next Sunday, we still be together. Let's bow our heads. God bless you, sir.
My dear Heavenly Father, we thank you again this morning for sparing our lives to see the beginning of another week. We thank you for the week that just ended. We are grateful for your grace, for your mercies, for your care, for the activities and the success of everything. May your name be praised, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, your word has just gone forth, O God. Stress it to us, O God, the importance of knowing the messenger of our day. If we do not know and recognize who the messenger is, how can we know, how can we be assured of what the message of our day is? And your prophet told us that the messenger and the message are one. We thank you. We are grateful. A portion that has just been delivered to us, in doctrine, in correction, in instruction, or to righteousness, may they find their resting place in our hearts. Thank you, Father. Lord, having been privileged to hear this, may you give us grace, O God, to line up our lives with the same, that we might be called what you want us to be called, and make ready, O God, for your glorious rapture. Thank you, Father. Bless your servant, replenish it for the virtue that has left it, while we are, O Lord, waiting for more of your blessings in the upcoming services. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.